Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today, we bring our series called How the Church Meets Your Deepest Needs to a close. Today, Pastor Rick takes a final look at the benefits of belonging to a church family. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the Purpose-Driven Life Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate, a hardcover book that will help the student in your life with the decisions they will face both before and after graduation. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called How Worshiping with Others Changes You.
Psalm 32, verse 11. I love this in the Message. It says this, celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All of you with honest hearts. All of you, raise the roof. I love that. Raise the roof. Worship is meant to be a celebration, not a commiseration. It's meant to be a festival of joy, not a funeral of sadness. He says, sing together. I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Not I was mad or sad or bored or, oh, brother. It's not a duty. It's a delight. Celebrate God. Sing together. All this week in our daily devotionals, I'm going to give you some ways to celebrate God on your own. But it's really important for you to learn to celebrate with other people. I have a counselor friend, a therapist, who everyone who comes to him who's depressed, one of the first questions he asks is, did you sing all the songs last Sunday at church? And they said, no. Well, he says, impression without expression leads to depression. And you need, for your emotional health, you need to sing. You say, well, I can't carry a tune in a baggie. I'm a prison singer. I'm always behind a few bars and I never have the right key. Well, you know what? The Bible says make a joyful noise. Anybody can do that. And so you don't have to be on key. You just have to sing with your heart. And you know what? Would you rather sing by yourself or would you rather sing with 100 people or 300 people or 1,000 people? The Bible says we sing together, and that is an act of worship. Did you know that music and love go together? Because music is God's gift for expressing emotions. And all of the emotions that are known to man can be expressed through music. You know, there are radio stations that are dedicated entirely to just love songs because they are a way of expressing emotion. Now, I know some people come to church late because they go, I just want to hear the message. And they want to come in the music. They don't worry about getting there. You are making a big mistake. And it is detrimental to your spiritual health, to your soul, to your spirit, and to your emotional health as well. You need to sing these songs. You're cheating yourself. You're missing out on an important moment of worship if you don't sing along the song. So learn to sing the songs. Praise is a mood lifter. It's an antidote, as I said, to depression. Now, let's go to a third way that we worship God. A third way we worship God is by talking to God together in prayer. By talking to God together in prayer. Now, of course, you could pray on your own anytime, but you know there's added power when we pray together. The Bible says, when two or three agree as to anything, it shall be done. There's additional prayer power when we pray together. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer. You know, we would have the power of the New Testament church, like they had in Acts. We'd see those kind of miracles if we prayed as much as they did in the book of Acts. Paul talks about the importance of prayer in corporate worship in Romans chapter 1, verses 12. He says this, we must help each other with the faith we have, and your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. So when we pray together and we're all praying for the same thing, that builds my faith, it builds your faith. You don't get that when you pray on your own. There's an additional element of prayer power that happens when you pray with other people. And that's why prayer together is a part of worship. You know, one of the things I've learned about a relationship, whether it's friendship or in marriage, I've been married now over 42 years, is that if you're going to build a relationship, you've got to communicate. On the days that Kay and I communicate with each other through the day, our relationship grows. On the days that I don't get to talk to her through the day, it decays. The same is true with God. If you want to build a friendship with God, you got to talk to him all the time. Of course, you can talk to him all the time, but if you never talk to your spouse or they never talk to you, you'd start doubting that they loved you. And if you really love God, you're going to talk to him all the time. What do you talk to God about? Well, whatever is interesting to you. You can talk to God about your hopes, about your dreams, about your fears, about your hurts. You can talk to God about the conflicts. You can talk about how your stomach feels. You can talk to him about things that you feel are not fair. There's nothing off limits in a love relationship with God. He wants to hear everything that is a concern to you. He doesn't want to hear what you think you ought to talk about. He wants to hear what's really concerning you. Prayer is not a duty. It is a privilege. And if you don't feel close to God, there's a simple remedy. Talk to him more, okay? Talk to him more. Prayer is an act of worship. But particularly when we pray together, there's power in group prayer. And so pray in your small group and pray in your Bible studies and pray when you're at a church worship service together. All right, let's go to number four. A fourth way that we express our love to God is by sharing the Lord's Supper together. By sharing the Lord's Supper together. Now, this is called communion. It's called the Eucharist, which comes from the word Eucharisto, which means I receive it with thanks. But Jesus gave us two symbols of his death and his burial and his resurrection. One is the Lord's Supper, and the other is baptism. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, this cup, the cup of communion that he was going to pass around to his disciples, he said, this cup is the new covenant between God and you, sealed by the shedding of my blood. So do this often in remembrance of me. We are to do this often in remembrance of him. Jesus said, I want you to take the bread and the cup together because it symbolizes my death and resurrection and my salvation that I've paid for you. The fact is, Jesus paid the penalty for your sins by his death on the cross. And he broke the power of sin so you could be free from all of the habits. And he guarantees freedom eventually from the presence of sin in your life because of what he did on the cross. One day you're going to be in heaven. There's going to be no sin there. So what should be my attitude when I take communion? Jesus' sacrifice did three things. It paid for your forgiveness. Every sin you've ever done wrong is completely forgiven. It's wiped out, washed away. Think of the most guilty thing you've ever done, the thing you're most ashamed of in your past, and thank God that that's forgiven. It's not only forgiven, God wiped it out. It's forgiven and forgotten. So he paid for your forgiveness. So what should be my attitude when I come to the Lord's Supper? Should it be guilt over my sin? No, because it's all been paid for and forgiven. Should it be grief over Jesus' death? No, because he didn't stay dead. So it's not a grieving thing. He came back to life. That's what Easter's all about. It shouldn't be guilt and it shouldn't be grief. The attitude for the Lord's Supper is gratitude. I should take it grateful. Grateful. Eucharisto, I receive it with thanks that God would love me this much. Now, communion is not for everybody. If you have never accepted God's gift of salvation and forgiveness, you shouldn't take communion because it doesn't mean anything to you. It's meaningless. It doesn't help you in any way. But if you have never given your life to Christ, before we take these elements, you need to say, God, as I take these elements today, the bread and the juice, I am saying by taking these that I accept what you did for me. And I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to accept me into your family, and I need your salvation. That's the right way to take communion, because Jesus paid for your forgiveness. He also paid for your freedom. So I want you to think about the thing that you would like to change the most about you, what you'd like to change, but you don't feel you can change. And in a minute, I want you to thank God that you have the power to change that He will give you because of what Jesus did for you. Your forgiveness, your freedom, and then your future. The Bible says, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that He has a future for you in heaven. The Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has never heard, and no one has even imagined the wonderful things God has prepared for those who love Him. So, not out of grief, not out of guilt, but out of gratitude, we take these elements and we thank God for our forgiveness. We thank God for our freedom in Christ, and we thank God for our future in heaven. During communion, you probably did something that is the fifth way that we offer our worship to God. Number five is by recommitting our lives to God. Many of you did that as you were taking communion. Some of you did it for the very first time, and you committed your life to Jesus Christ, saying, I want you to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I want to accept your salvation. I need your forgiveness. Now, this is an important act of worship. Romans 12, verse 1 says this, because of God's great mercy to you, in other words, because God's been so good to you, offer your lives as living sacrifices to Him, dedicated to serving Him in a holy and pleasing way. Now, I'm going to stop right here and look at this verse for just a minute. First, it says, because of God's great mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. He's merciful. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Do you know someone who is graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this powerful resource, so don't wait.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
First it says, because of God's great mercy. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. He's merciful. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. So mercy takes away all the bad. Grace gives us all the good. He says, because of God's great mercy and His grace, He says, offer yourselves as living sacrifices to Him. That means you say, God, I give you myself. You know the old problem with a living sacrifice? It can crawl off the altar. And that's what happens on Sunday, on the weekend. We say, God, I give you my life. I give you my time, my money, my life, my energy, my future, my reputation. And then on Monday, we crawl off the altar. We sing Onward Christian Soldiers on Sunday. And on Monday, we go AWOL, A-W-O-L, absent without leave. The Bible says, offer your lives as living sacrifices to Him, dedicated to serving Him. This is an act of worship. God, I want to serve you this week. Serving Him in a holy and pleasing way, this is your spiritual act of worship. Underline that. This is your spiritual act of worship. Did you know that every time you make a spiritual decision, a spiritual commitment, you are participating in worship. Nothing ever significant happens without worship. You will become whatever you are committed to, whatever you commit to. And so your decisions determine your destiny, and your commitments determine your character. And so worship is something that we say, God, I give you myself. Now, along with that, in that offering basket, we put our offerings. And that leads to the sixth act of worship. Write this down. I show my love to God by giving back some of what God has given me. I show my love to God by giving back some of what God has given me. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When I first fell in love with Kay, I could not keep money in my pocket. It's like it was burning a hole. I wanted to spend it on her all the time. Why? I was in love with her, and I just wanted to buy her things. Because when you love somebody, you want to be generous with them. You want to give to them. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave. And so in giving back to God, we don't give out of duty. We don't give out of pressure. In fact, you should never give out of pressure. You give out of love. Because if you don't give out of love, and you don't give wholeheartedly, it doesn't matter. But giving is an act of worship. A lot of people think, well, when the offering baskets are passed, that means it's time to get up and leave because the worship is over. No. One of the most important parts of worship is the act of you giving back to God. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. In the Living Bible, it says this. On every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you've earned during the week. What's the Lord's Day? It's the first day of the week. And put aside something you've earned the past week and give it back to God as your offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Now, this is pretty basic. It's proportional giving. If you made a lot of money this week, then you give a lot back to God. If you made a little this week, you give a little back to God. If you didn't make any, then I guess you don't give anything back to God. You can always give something. You can give a penny if you have to, but it's just an attitude that says, God, I want to express my love to you by giving. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you to earn. Now, the Bible uses the word tithe, which means 10%. It means if I earn $1,000, $100 comes back to God. If I earn 10 bucks, $1 comes back to God. Kay and I have been reverse tithers for over 20 years now. We give away 91% of our offerings and of our income and give away and live on 9%. Most of you know I don't take a salary from Saddleback Church. I've served this church for free now for almost 40 years. But God says, play this game with me. I'll give to you and you give to me and we'll see who wins. I've lost that game for almost 40 years. Now, here's the last of seven ways. There are many, many more other ways that you can worship God. You can worship God in silence. But the seventh way that I want to give you this weekend is that I show my love to God by being baptized to publicly declare our faith. We're baptized as an expression to the world. It's not in secret. It's kind of our coming out party. It's kind of your debutante. It's your saying, I'm not ashamed to say, I love Jesus Christ. Let me just close with a few verses. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 tells us that baptism symbolizes what Jesus Christ did for us. In the Message paraphrase, it says this. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind and when we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace. We left the old country of sin under the water. We come out to the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we're lowered into the water, it's like the burial of Jesus. And when we're raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. So it symbolizes what Jesus did for us, but it also has a much greater significance. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that baptism symbolizes our dying to an old lifestyle. Colossians 2, 12 in the Message says, going under the water was a burial of your old life, and coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead, just like he did Christ. So it symbolizes Jesus' death and resurrection. It symbolizes your dying to all your old sins and being given a brand new life. And then it symbolizes our new life in Christ. Galatians 3:27. Then the message says this: your baptism in Christ was not just washing you up for a fresh start. It also involved dressing you in an adult faith wardrobe. Have you been baptized as an adult when it's your commitment to Christ? Christ's life, the fulfillment of God's original promise. Are you ashamed to let other people know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? If you're not, you need to be baptized. But I want to challenge you to realize that baptism is an act of worship. And if you've taken communion, but you haven't been baptized, you need to be baptized. Now, what are all of these verses telling us? Well, let me give you a closing verse. Ephesians 2:22 says, in Christ's body, you are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. God doesn't live in buildings. He lives in people. You become part of the temple of God when you're part of a local church family. In Christ's body, you're built together to become the temple of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can call 800-600-5004 or just visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle or 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Today is the last day to get this powerful resource, so don't wait. And now here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I like to share letters from people like you who are listening to Daily Hope. Let me read one from a guy named Lee who lives in Chicago. Dear Pastor Rick, I was introduced to Daily Hope this year, and what a blessing it's been to my life. I've listened almost every day since. You've helped me in ways that I've never been helped before. I'm divorced. I've made many mistakes in my life, yet I always have had some sort of connection with God, even though I never really truly walked the line as a true disciple. But I want to thank you for taking the time that it takes to produce Daily Hope. I'm somebody that, regardless of the distance, you're helping in far more ways than I can explain in a simple email. I'm now attending a local church. That's great. And I met a wonderful Christian woman, that's great, that God has put in my life, and I'm gaining ground on a much brighter and more powerful relationship with God. I had to share this with you and thank you for all you're doing and how you're impacting my life in positive ways as you do for so many others through Daily Hope. Thanks, Lee. Well, thank you, Lee, for writing. I want you to know your note made my day. Means a lot to me to know that these broadcasts are helping normal people out there just like you and like me. And I'm really glad you found a local church where you can meet with other believers and find support and encouragement in your walk with Christ. Daily Hope is never meant to be a replacement for a church family. Nothing can replace a church family.
Just like Rick said, it's so important that you have a home church. That's why he developed a free tool called How to Find a Good Church. And you can get it by going to PastorRick.com right now. That's PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.